God, it gets me so pumped every time.
Yeah, that doesn't get
it, you didn't even get to the best part yet.
All right.
What? All right.
This is a news intro song from 1982. It's our new intro music.
Wow, that's amazing.
No big deal. It keeps going. Oh, play, goddamn you!
Building.
I was just getting all excited.
Yeah.
There was a house fire on the video part for that, by the way.
Next level.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
It showed them filming a barn fire for a part of that, by the way.
Then they're interviewing a firefighter in front of the fire. He should clearly be fighting the fire.
So, there was a barn fire, and we just decided to take a break for a while because we were like, eh.
Hey, Jim, get that for B-roll. Let it burn for a while. We're back. Another week of the Fraughtcast. We're going to get a lot of Fartcast. Thanks, everybody, for your Paul Blart Presents ideas. We were overwhelmed. Many, many amazing ones. We are going to get to that. That's the first time in a long time I've laughed out loud just reading a random email. Legitimately just laughing out loud. So thank you.
Just inspired and humbled and feeling.
I think we got over 50 plus emails. Some just titles, some legitimate full paragraph synopsi.
Yeah.
But this week we got myself, the ear rapist Ben. We got film blogger extraordinaire Vince.
Hey.
And we got Brendan.
Yeah.
We don't have Brett, but we have fake Brett.
Hey, you guys. I'm real Brett was sick this week, but I came in instead, and I think I can pick up the slack pretty well.
And then we got to Lindy. We blooped in Lindy already. Lindy, hello.
What's up?
So we got a fun show. Like I said, we're going to read your Paul Blart Presents. We'll try to pick some sort of winner. There really were some amazing ones. Lindy is going to do Lindy Presents the Plot. What's it called, Vince?
Yeah, Lindy Explains the Plot.
Lindy Explains the Plot. She saw a couple movies. I think she saw... What did you see, Lindy?
I saw The Right, starring Sir Anthony Hopkins. And I saw The Eagle, starring Sir Channing of Tatum.
Yeah, you did. He's a warrior from the streets. He's the first graffiti artist in the Roman times.
Yeah.
He's going to take the streets back to where the streets started.
Yeah.
Which is on the streets.
He's stepping up to the Roman emperor.
He's taking it all the way back to the Appian Way.
I ain't wearing no skirt, son.
And then Vince also wanted to talk some Chet Hayes, brother to the more famous Colin Shenanigans, the rapper.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys were aware of this today, since we last checked in with Chet Hayes, his Twitter feed has blown up since then, and man, I have a hard time believing this is real.
Is it a Chet Hayes blaze on his Twitter feed?
He's got a picture, of course, smoking blunts on his picture.
Yeah,
because that's what he does.
Yeah, he does.
Hitting books and hitting blunts.
Yeah, so I compiled some of my favorite of his tweets, like I did with Sly Stallone. And also, in the month that he's had this active Twitter account, he's used the word homie no less than 8 times.
That's it?
That seemed important to me.
Yeah, that seems low.
He's a rapper. It seems low.
Yeah. I would have said over under at like 18 and a half. Eight. Eight's way under.
Quick side note, while we're talking about rappers on Twitter, I follow Ghostface Killa, which is...
Oh, he's amazing.
There was a
definitely
really good
a must
one this,
follow.
There was a really good one this morning about, y'all watch out. So much ice, niggas be slipping, running in place like they was Barney Rubble.
Yeah. All right. So Chet Hayes, though. Now, you guys can help me decide whether this is like a Joaquin Phoenix-like stunt or if this guy's actually a real person. Here's some of the tweets. Scratch last tweet. Homie showed up with a case of Hennessy, a fresh new system, and DJ equipment. # dope. Next
case
tweet.
Case of Hennessy? That is so much Hennessy. How could you drink all that Hennessy?
I don't even like
Oh,
Hennessy.
You got to have mad shotties. That's how. All right, next tweet. Oh, man, y'all don't know the heat I'm about to bring with this mixtape. .. It's going to be Bonkers with a Z. Now this one's my favorite. I don't know who this chick is, but at Chelsea V. Peretti.
Oh, she's a comedian. She's on Louis. Remember the really bad date he went on and she ran off and got into a helicopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
All right. At Chelsea V. Peretti. Just saw some of your stand-up, .. Funny stuff, girl. Keep it up. Hashtag comedy, LOL.
Is it hashtag comedy space, LOL, yes. Or is the whole hashtag? Oh.
Comedy law.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea of a hashtag that's just comedy, LOL, like all one word.
True.
That's comedy, LOL is trending.
What happens? Someone goes like, ooh, comedy, and they click on the hashtag and like,
and then get checked.
How is that useful in any way?
Comedy is trending.
He likes hashtags. Let's say that. I got a few more. I'm going to go to Olive Mountain tonight. Get myself a mountain of olives. Psych, olives are nasty.
He had me going for a while. I thought he really liked olives.
All right, all right. Who wants to guess how he spells psych?
S-I-K-E.
Oh, you got it.
That's my preferred spelling of psych.
No way.
How would you spell it? S-Y-K-E?
It's psych. It's P-S-Y-C-H.
Yeah, but if I'm going to write psych, that's retarded. And so I might as well spell it retarded.
What? That's how it's spelled.
You know who writes it like that?
Smart people that can spell?
Idiots that went to Columbia and wear an ascot.
Oh, blow
me. As a diaper.
No, I have to work for a I don't just blog. I have to work for a print newspaper, which means that we have copy editors who every time I write psych, they change it to P-S-Y-C-H, and it fucking drives me crazy.
How often do you write psych when you're writing a legitimate newspaper article?
Hey, I like to fake people out.
No wonder print is dying.
Hey, do you want copy editors or sloppy editors?
That's a good one.
Hashtag comedy LOL.
Yes.
Yeah, Vince, hurry, tweet that and hashtag that.
All right. Brownie face.
Next tweet. A good rule of thumb for frat parties. Don't mingle. Let the minglers come to you. Oh, this one had a colon, by the way. That's impressive punctuation. Don't mingle. Let the minglers come to you. Ha ha! Hashtag crunked. Hashtag frat life. Hashtag college.
Do you remember very early on in the Frogcast, maybe the second or third episode, we tried to get the skunk dill hashtag trending.
Yeah.
Somehow we talked about a skunk dildo.
Yeah, well, then there was armadillo.
Yeah, then there was armadillo, but we were like, film drunkards everywhere. Let's get the skunk dill trending. And I just watched Twitter like a hawk. And one person put skunk dill. One. We had one skunk dill hashtag. Well,
the Frogcast has come a long way since then.
It has come a long way. We have like 12 more listeners now.
Yeah. That's 12 times more. The armadillo would be a legitimate trending topic.
Yep. All right, last tweet. Too Fast, Too Furious was on TV. If this rap shit doesn't work out, I'm becoming a loose cannon street racer. Hashtag no doubt. Hashtag Eva Mendez. How about hashtag you're already rich and you don't have to work a day.
Hashtag I'm 21 and just hashtagging everything.
Yeah. Hashtag...
Hashtag Colin Shenanigans needs to be a trending topic.
Hashtag Kirk Douglas log flume boner.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Hashtag corpse boner would be good.
All right, so no. Tell me, am I wrong? Is this real or do these people exist?
I think this is real because he's too young to be smart enough to fake this.
But man, it makes Malibu's Most Wanted seem like a documentary.
That wasn't?
I would weigh in, except I was apparently fooled by a fake Twitter feed this week, and I was ridiculed.
Which one?
Well, it was Gallagher.
you mean not Gallagher tricked you?
There was it was the real Gallagher, so, you know, who am I to argue?
Hashtag giant hammer with a watermelon?
Right. Well, so I have this weird relationship with Gallagher where I wrote this. I went to see Gallagher last summer, and then I wrote this article about how Gallagher is psychotic, and which is true. And so then this week, Gallagher went on Mark Maron's podcast and then had like a meltdown and stormed out. So then I was writing about it, and then someone was like, oh, here's Gallagher's Twitter feed. And the Gallagher's Twitter feed was amazing. Because what I learned about Gallagher when I saw him last summer is that he is
Hello? Hello?
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. It's just getting good.
Every entry was like...
Sorry. Go back. You said, what I learned about Gallagher was that he is... And then you, like, cut out for a while. So you got to go...
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I learned that Gallagher is a racist, homophobe, right-wing lunatic.
Yeah.
Funny, because he seems very, very gay.
One second. Brendan, what the fuck are you doing?
Pulling up the email from my mom about Kirk Douglas.
Okay, Jesus Christ. He's always on his phone, and I'm like, what are you doing
He's
during
bored.
The show?
He's bored.
So I just want to... Hold on.
Sorry, I really want to hear about Gallagher. I just had to shout at Brendan for a second, because I actually heard that podcast, and I'm really interested in what the hell happened to Gallagher.
Well, right. So I went to a Gallagher show that was... It was 3 hours long, and it was in this military... town outside of Seattle.
Was that 3 hours with openers or 3 hours by himself?
Oh no. Holy he doesn't shit. Have openers. It's literally just him. And all of the jokes are like,
that's like a fucking Howard Zinn lecture or something. Jesus
Christ.
Oh my
God. Oh, it was insane. And it was like, I should call up what the jokes are, but it was like you know, it was all like SAG awards, more like fag awards, except that was actually a thing from the Twitter. That's why the Twitter tricked me, because it was so accurate.
Yeah.
The Twitter was like 140 characters. Is this, it was like, is Twitter run by Jews?
Yeah, I don't really get the parodies that aren't over the top enough to where they just like, they seem like the real thing, and you're like, well, that's not.
Well, right, because the thing is that people don't understand that, because they are not Gallagher, modern Gallagher experts like me, where this is actually completely accurate. This is the exact material that he was doing in his show. So then when it was revealed to be a fake and I had been like posting, blogging about it, then everyone was like, you need to get a new bullshit detector, retard, because that was obviously fake. And I was like, it's not obviously fake.
Gallagher, no one put the bullshit detector up to your bullshit detector, apparently, because this is bullshit. So did you actually talk to him after the show was over?
No. I was too scared. Yeah, I almost talked to him before the show, because he's literally like this sort of little, sad, angry old man, and he's kind of terrifying. And before the show, he was just milling about on the sidewalk outside, hoping that people would pay attention to him. And then after the show, I ran away. I mean, it was the big finale at the Gallagher show that I saw. So it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes of just Gallagher's crazy, like, hate, like, crazy hate monger, weird, like, fag jokes. And then the last 15 minutes, he finally gets the sledgehammer out, which is the only thing that anyone came to see. Oh, God. And so, like these people just been wearing their ponchos.
Play Freebird, you faggot!
Right, they've been wearing their Splash Zone ponchos for the entire show, and then finally
just
he's
sweating
like, okay.
And sweating in their sad ponchos.
Right, exactly. And he's like, and so
these ponchos
so
are
Gallagher,
hot.
Gallagher took a he took like a pie plate, like a tin pie plate, and he poured some fruit cocktail in, and then he poured in some like water chestnuts or some sort of like Asian vegetable from a can, and then he goes, this is the China people and queers. And then he smashed it with the sledgehammer.
Wow.
Yeah.
The just in case you were enjoying this whole fruit being smashed as an absurdist bit. No, it's because I hate the gays.
And the Chinese.
Anyway.
So
it was amazing.
And you did you hear from him at all after you wrote the piece about him?
No, except in the Marin podcast, he's like, you read one article about me and now you think, you know, you could pigeonhole me and blah, you know, and I am positive that it was my article.
Yeah.
Not to be, you know.
No, it was.
There was also this is a couple years ago. There was also a really crazy one that he did with the AV Club.
That's right. I read that. Mine
nutty.
Was, yeah, that was a little bit more, like fair to Gallagher. Mine was like, I am traumatized and here is a transcript of the racist jokes. That one I mean that one was also insane because that was just crazy Gallagher talking. Anyway,
he seems like he's one of those guys like Leno where when you say something that he did, you can't help but imitate him, and everybody who does Gallagher, it makes him sound like he's just like this insane haranguer, like, I was, here's the chinks and fruits and man.
Yeah. His opening joke was, President Obama, you're not black. You're half whole milk. You're a latte. It could be goat milk. You could be a terrorist. It was like all crazy.
That's a
nice
train
like
of logic.
That.
I was with him until the terrorist part. I was like, hey, you know, milk jokes. All right, I get it. Oh, Africa, go.
I like latte jokes. Yeah. Those are hot.
Yeah. How apropos. It's Seattle.
It's a little corny, but, you know, I go, oh, okay, terrorist. I don't know where that came from. But
could be goat milk.
Hey, let me pick up my monocle. It has fallen on my poncho.
These ponchos make me sweat.
Allow me to wipe the watermelon off my monocle.
How's everybody doing out there tonight? You guys wearing your ponchos?
Yeah. I'll see the first 10 rows wearing their ponchos. I like that.
Yeah.
Except one of those guys is black. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
You know who else wears ponchos? The wetbacks.
Yeah, I can tell. You're all napping.
They would wear ponchos.
You're all napping in the front row. Siesta.
Brendan, yeah. So you had it while you were pulling something up on your iPhone over there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, hold on. One more, quick before we move on from the Gallagher. So what were you researching his fake Twitter account in order to...
Well, I was just looking at the fake Twitter account because it was amazing. Whoever did it perfectly. Like, it was exactly correct. And they even... Like, what's weird about when someone makes a fake Twitter account is when they throw in, like, boring shit, like... Oh, I'm pretty tired about after my show, and I'm going to go to bed, but thanks to my fans or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's what trips
That sounds like an Olivia Munn tweet.
If they can trick a modern...
My fans are so great, I'm going to bed. Thanks, you guys.
If they can trick a modern Gallagher expert like you, Lindy, they did a marvelous job.
Yeah.
I know. I was impressed. I said kudos. I did. I said kudos on the internet.
You're like a Gallagherical anthropologist.
Yep. So Brendan, what do you got for us?
Oh yeah, so just been like really busy over the last been really busy over the last week or so. And my mom emailed me yesterday, and the email subject is just hi. Kind of make me feel bad, you know. It's like you can tell it's going to go
hi with a period. Like hi, like I'm passive aggressive that you didn't call me.
Not quite, no period, but still made me a little nervous. Like, oh god, I haven't talked to my mom in like 2 weeks, and just the email says, "How are we doing over there? Not much news here, you know." And so I'm like, oh god, I feel so bad. Like, I haven't talked to my mom in a long time. So I just wrote her back, like, sorry, just been really busy. Feel bad for not calling you. And she wrote back, I could call you too, but we just get wrapped up in our own little Cosmo.
Cosmo?
Also,
like the drink?
Like, I don't know.
Like the magazine.
It's very zen.
Yeah, so weird. Maybe she's trying to say Cosmos, or maybe she was trying to write Galaxy and was just thinking strangely. I don't know. Anyway, she wrote, also, I could listen to your podcast just to hear your voice. I did start to listen to one of them, November, I think, where at the beginning I could hear you chuckling about someone saying, you and you and you and you. Then I had to answer the phone or something, and I never went back. You warned me there was a plethora of bathroom humor. So, yeah. So I responded. Sorry. Trying to pull up the chain. I said, yeah, our latest running joke consists of Kirk Douglas's corpse going down a log flume with his wang out. Don't ask. And she responded, I didn't know Kirk was even dead. Mental picture. So then I wrote back, he's not. That's why it's funny. Well, the wang out part is pretty funny too. And she responded, is it sticking up or flopping? And I wrote, oh, definitely sticking up. Yeah. We call it, and I put in quotes, Kirk Douglas's corpse going down a log flume with a boner. And she wrote back, now I have the complete mental picture, but now I wonder, why is that funny? If it was Pee Wee Herman, it would be really funny.
She's got a point.
And I wrote back, I think it came out of a joke I made about Spartacus, then a subsequent joke I made about riding him down a hill like a sled. Somehow the log flume and the exposure, I put in quotes, was added on. That's kind of how her humor works. And she just wrote back, ew, with like seven W's.
I want to say before about why Pee Wee Herman would not be as funny. I imagine Pee Wee Herman's boner as being smaller and more childlike and sort of jaunty, whereas I imagine Kirk Douglas's boner is sort of substantial, and you know, it's kind of got like an old man strength to it, where it's slow moving and it sort of has its own gravitas. But
and it's got liver spots.
Yeah,
I picture it sort of like a long, skinny tree branch, sort of.
Yeah, well,
it's like really long and skinny, but very powerful.
Yeah, and like Pee Wee Herman would probably have his out on purpose, whereas like Kirk Douglas is just like so old and like broken down that he can't help it.
Yeah,
so it's funny that it's out and he can't do anything about it, or perhaps not even aware of it.
He's just doing the old man thing where he's got to fly down and doesn't know it. But
he's kind of got like the, you know how they keep their their mouth open all the time, like that old man grimace where he's just like, like Dick Vermeil always used to do.
Yeah, the Tom Coughlin face.
Kind of. Tom Coughlin's more like angry all the time, whereas like Dick Vermeil is kind of like, I don't know, maybe his nasal passages don't work so well anymore, and he's like squinting up at the scoreboard to see the down and distance, you know. And he's kind of, you know, they get sort of
this would be a great video podcast
face, you know.
Yeah, that kind of looks a lot like your sex face.
Yeah, he wasn't yelling as loud as me though.
Oh yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
Lindy, have you had any? Have you ever had any lovers since we last talked that were as loud as Brendan?
Have you taken a lover?
No, sweetie pie. It's just you.
That's a shame. You need
No, my no. Well, no. No, I'm paranoid, I told you.
What made you say well?
He got it half in, and he started to scream. And, well, it didn't really go anywhere after that.
Well, well,
no,
I mean...
No, I mean, what's the question? Is the question, have I had anyone over, or has anyone been noisy?
Oh, let's go with both. I think the second part's a sub-question.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... Why are you... Wait, why did I get tricked into this? I guess yes and no.
They weren't noisy. They were
silent,
like
silent dormouse.
Was like
this.
Fake Brett, like I'm gonna stick it right in you.
Hey, this is kind of fun. I like this. Hey, I don't want to wake your neighbors. I want to be kind of quiet.
Do you like that? Is that good?
I cannot believe Fake Brett told you guys about what happened.
It felt real good.
It feels good to me. Does that feel good for you?
It's warm and squishy. I enjoy making love more than I like having sex. I feel like it's deeper.
Did you queef?
More.
I can't believe you violated our trust like that.
Speaking of queefing, I happened to catch the South Park episode, the April Fool's one, where they have the Terrence and Phillip, except they're the women that queef instead of fart. And, oh, my God. I mean, that was, like, the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I was, like, at home by myself, like, laughing hysterically. Like, Martha Stewart's queefing the confetti out. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So good.
I mean... Can you really go wrong with queefing?
No, you can't.
I like how
is queefing just funny to you guys because it's like farting, or is it like?
Yeah,
I think it raises the stakes a little bit.
Yeah, it's a funnier queef is a funnier word than fart.
Queef might be the funniest word in the English language.
Yeah.
Oh, I much prefer fart.
But it's queef's almost an onomatopoeia. I mean, right?
Maybe fart kind of is too. I don't know.
But
I mean,
you can't be like fart. But you can be like queef.
I sort of feel like fart is some like weird antiquated onomatopoeia when like people weren't as developed and language wasn't as developed.
Yeah.
And like it was like the only way that like people like the court jester could like make the king laugh. Yeah. It was like before like humans really developed onomatopoeia.
It's like when you hear other languages try to
make animal noises.
Yeah, and it sounds like ham-fisted and weird, like meow, meow.
Yeah.
The cat says meow. It's like, no! Idiot Frenchie.
It pains me to say there was a really funny Family Guy bit about that, where it was like the foreign, you know those things, it's like a big round thing and you pull the cord and it goes like, the cow goes, moo,
right.
You know, but it was a foreign one. And it was pretty good. It was like, the rooster goes, dickery dee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that might be what happened. Like, you know, some like medieval court jester like came up with that term or something. I don't know.
I wonder what the word is for queef in other languages.
I think that's universal.
Frotcast@gmail.com. If anybody,
yeah, let
if
us
any
know.
Of our, if any of our foreign listeners.
Yeah, we'd like some foreign intel on that.
I know in Australia they just call it a fanny fart.
I know it alliterates, but gosh, so vulgar. A fanny fart.
A fanny fart.
Just keep it in your fanny pack. So Lindy.
How often does that. Wait. Oh, sorry, go ahead. What percentage of times when you're having sex with someone does that happen?
Very low.
Very low, right? All right. Well,
it depends on the girl.
It depends on, you know, the accessories involved. How many people?
Like
depends how much air you blow up in there.
then it's more likely.
Yeah, it depends on what
depends how much air you blow up there.
Yeah, it depends on the power of the air compressor you're using.
Well, if I got some window pane acid in a turkey baster and I run out like after we're getting crazy and then I just start. So if I squeeze it after the liquid runs out, it's dangerous. But then sometimes she'll fill the turkey baster back up with the queef, and then I sort of save that for.
No, and then you could re-inject it, and then it's double queef.
Whoa.
Vince, I can't believe you.
Brom.
I know, I need that inception
button. It's a queef with queef than a queef.
Inception.
Queefception.
Queefception.
There we go.
Inception.
I can't believe you dragged me down this road. I did not intend.
Well, how often, the more important question is, how often does it happen when you have sex?
That is none of your business.
Are you sure?
No, almost never. It's like maybe only, I can maybe remember one time. But even that is like, I'm not sure.
Was it just so, because it was so loud, it just sticks out in your memory?
Is that what upset?
Is it like a sense, like an intense sense memory?
Is that what upset your landlord?
Well, because it was the most intense pleasure of my life. I will never forget.
I lived downstairs and she knocked a pitcher of grapefruit juice off my table.
That's what the noise complaint was.
I could have sworn
I thought it was an earthquake.
I had souffles baking in the oven and they collapsed.
The walls were rumbling.
I collapsed my fish died. All the souffles for blocks.
the water boiled. So my roommate in college, Dickie, he swore up and down that when he was 17, he was in high school, he was having sex with his girlfriend, and they like stopped in the middle and started 69ing, and she queefed on his face. And she was like this little tiny girl, and he's a big guy. And he said, he swears up and down, he screamed, he threw her off, and he ran out of the room.
I believe that. Because
that's true.
He's also the guy who would like sleep with underwear on because he didn't want anything to crawl up his pee hole
while
he was
asleep.
That's
true,
yeah. And also, he shouted at the squirrel.
Yeah, yeah, he did. He shouted at the squirrel that was looking at our glass.
He told our sliding
glass door.
I feel like it's better visually, but I still,
Yeah, you just need, he was like... He was talking about something somewhat serious, and we were all sitting in the living room, and he's like, yeah, so anyway, you guys, and he like looks over, and he sees this squirrel like looking at our sliding glass door, and he just goes, ah! This is a big, hairy man.
It involves pointing with the finger.
Yeah, pointing with the finger. You can't see me doing the point, but the point's funny. He also, one night after a party, this is like, I feel like it was straight from an 80s movie. Like, I came out of my room, and there was like, the coffee table's turned over. There's like crushed beer cans everywhere. There were sticks in our microwave. I don't know how those got there. And there's a fucking bird flying around in our apartment. And so I came upstairs.
Did Lindy queef in here? Where'd this bird come from?
She queefed a bird. So I came upstairs to like the main level of this townhome we lived in. And his room was right there. And I come upstairs and he's like... the door is like barely cracked open. I can just see like the eyeball like in the crack, and I'm like, "What's going on, man?" He's like, "There's a bird in here." I was like, "I'm like, well, let's get it out." He goes, "Man, they got beaks." This is a 6'5", 320-pound man.
Hey, dude, it's just a vagina bird.
Yeah, it's just a queef. It's a queef sparrow. Don't be scared.
It's a pussy finch. Come on.
I like twat finch. I'm sorry.
Fanny finch?
Fanny finch. All right. All right. So should we play a little Lindy Explains the Plot?
Oh, God. I've been doing all the heavy lifting on this podcast so far.
All the heavy queefing. Hold on. We need a little intro music for this segment, I think.
Heavy queefing should be a porn name.
Oh, that should be a porno title.
I mean, that's sorry.
Montana title. Fishburne in heavy queefing.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Porn title.
She's got like a construction hat on.
Yeah.
Maybe like a jackhammer.
Hey, you can't come in here. It's a heavy queefing zone.
Caution tape.
Hard hat area.
Mm-hmm. All right, there we go.
Shouldn't Lindy have her own song?
I set it up. Yeah, we'll get to that later.
That's actually what it sounds like when I queef.
Wow, you can play musical notes? That's amazing.
Yeah. There's like a Kegels, man.
There's like a timpani in there. And
totally. A timpani.
Multiple
timpani.
Timpani.
Timpani is really the traditional
whatever. Pronunciation. Whatever. You said Kegel. I thought it was Kegel, but you know, whatever.
Biopic.
Which one of us is the one that has them? Me. I say
touché.
Kegel.
Touche.
Guys have Kegels too, don't they?
Yeah, we contract our prostate with them, don't we?
Yes.
Shut up. No, I don't know. Maybe it's Kegel. Like Hegel.
Yeah. Like I could, all I know is I could crush a walnut with my
with your butthole?
Prostate contracting with my prostate. Wow. With my prostate. I'll put
In
it
fact,
out there.
That's how he cracks walnuts.
And then you poop nut meats for the Christmas fruitcake.
I do.
In college, my buddy Jimmy.
I ejaculate all of the shell like an owl pellet.
In college, my buddy Jimmy was in the library studying for finals, and he was doing Kegels while he was sitting there, and he jizzed in his pants.
What? That's like a superpower. Yeah. Good job.
Wow.
He was sitting across the table from his girlfriend looking at her doing Kegels, and he jizzed his pants.
That is legitimately impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the library.
Wow. Yeah, that is a superpower, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a super bummer, I guess. What you want is to not do that.
Well, but if you can control it like a ninja, I mean, I imagine that would be.
It's true.
Or like Sting.
Well, dudes are always mad at ladies because ladies are like, oh, I went on the elliptical machine and I had the greatest pleasure of my life. Just orgasming, watching, you know, whatever. Oprah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, ladies are always having orgasms when they exercise.
Yeah, no, my mom tells me about this stuff.
Or eating yogurt. We love it.
So silky.
Or watching Oprah on the couch.
It was
Oops.
It was
or making love to fake Brett.
Have you guys watched that trailer for the Oprah porno?
No.
It's like, Hustlers, this ain't Oprah really having sex, XXX movie.
I have not seen that one yet.
Who
no.
wants to watch an Oprah-themed porn? That's like the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's so unsexy. So it's like, watch Oprah, Gayle King, and Stedman have a threesome, finally.
Ugh, like,
no, I wasn't waiting for that at all.
Did they find like a fat, you know, couple fat...
No.
Lesbian looking. No.
Well, they
no,
could.
Strangely enough, it's just porn stars having sex.
Was there blackface involved? Because that would
They are black. They are black people.
All right.
It'd be nice if they got like Dr. Phil to be Stedman.
Well, maybe. You're the real Dr. Phil?
Yeah. That would be a draw.
That would
be a good get right there.
Yeah.
I just don't know who the target audience is for that. Because it's like. It's
people with penises mostly.
Your guys are going to go out and get the Oprah porno?
Well, maybe if it's
never underestimate the power of novelty masturbation.
Or maybe maybe if they get Montana.
A little flag comes out the tip of your penis
and says,
bam. If
they get Montana Fishburne as Oprah, you know, maybe I'm in.
That could work. I could see that.
That could play.
Yeah.
I could play at the local Cineplex.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
So, Lindy, explain to us the plot of, first, The Right, and this is not to be confused with the R-I-G-H-T.
Not to be confused with The Left.
Hey-o.
Woo! Coming up top of the hour, we got a mattress in lanes. Watch out for brake lights out there.
So The Right, it stars Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal, and he's fighting the devil this time instead of Clarice, correct?
Yep, pretty much. Here's what happens. I am drinking wine out of a bottle, just so you guys know. Just for you, I'm doing this.
Wow, are you classy out of a bottle?
I was going to say, I exclusively drink out of a wine out of a bag and or the bag in a box.
I was hoping for like a dirty coffee can.
Like you just hold the bag up like a teat and you suckle?
Mm-hmm. First you got to slap it though.
Yeah.
You want to get the air bubbles out.
Oh yeah, that's important.
No, but I just want you to know that if this comes out a little... A little Mickey Mouse. It's not my fault.
Look, we don't need any excessive prefacing.
Hey, so Anthony Hopkins fights the devil, see?
No, you know what I mean. Okay, The Right. Let's see. I saw it last week. So here's what happens. So there's a priest, and he used to be an undertaker or something. His dad, he grew up in a funeral home, and his dad, Rutger Hauer, he's like, you must take over funeral home. And then the son's like, no, I don't want to. But apparently in his family, you only have two choices, funeral home guy or priest. So then he goes to seminary, and he is he's like almost a priest, and then he's like, but hold up, I don't believe in Jesus or anything. So then, but he's like, I don't know, for some reason his priest teacher is like, but you would be so awesome at being at not having sex with ladies and, you know, whatever priests do. I don't know what priests do.
My guidance counselor told me the same thing.
Little boys, I don't know. And so then he's like, you should go to Italy and study how to be an exorcist instead of quitting seminary. And then everyone, literally, there's like three different scenes where someone goes, what could possibly go wrong? And
so he's basically like, the skeptical priest.
He's skeptical priest. Mm-hmm. Anybody's like young and hot.
Yeah.
So you're also like, dude, just go get a normal job. It's cool. You don't have, like, you could just be a dude.
Chicks are going to want to do you.
Yeah, chicks want to do you. You, what the fuck is wrong with you? So, like, you don't believe in God. What are you doing? So that's irritating. So then he's like, a summer in Rome. How bad could that be? Really bad, as it turns out, because the devil's there. So he goes to Rome.
He goes
to exorcist college. And in exorcist college, he keeps raising his hand. And he's like, professora. excuse me, what about science? And then the professor's like, no, it's the devil. And then
what's the matter for you? We don't like the evolution in here.
Right.
You're breaking your mama's heart.
So then he sends him to Anthony Hopkins. He's like, this guy will turn you around. So Anthony Hopkins is like mega priest of exorcism genius times. And so he is like, I shall take you under my wing. Okay. Basically what happens is the dude, hot priest, stays skeptical for the entire time, even though like crazy shit's happening, like Anthony Hopkins is trying to get the devil out of this chick, and then she doesn't speak English, and then all of a sudden she turns to hot priest and she's like,
girl,
remember the time when
I'm gonna get the devil about you.
You know, when your mother said this, and he's like, it was probably just a coincidence that you knew about my mom's charm bracelet or whatever. So then Anthony Hopkins gets satanic. He gets possessed by this demon, of course. So then now
the only hope.
So now Hot Priest is the only hope because the other priest goes out of town on vacation. Bad timing.
Yeah.
It was a molesting boy.
Fire Island.
Boy cruise.
Yeah, exactly.
There was a NAMBLA convention. There was a NAMBLA convention in France.
Like Winnipesaukee.
He was teaching a course at Hogwarts.
Can we herefore refer to him as Father McDreamy?
Yes.
I mean, he's got an Irish name, so it's probably so priest.
He goes to where? What was I talking about? Oh, so Anthony Hopkins gets all possessed, and then the guy has to go try and exorcise him. And and meanwhile, he just like thinks that Anthony Hopkins, like basically every scene is him being like, but what about psychiatry instead? And then Anthony Hopkins is like, it's neck turned around. It's literally obviously a demon. And then he's like, I don't buy it. And you're like, dude, just buy it. It's fine. It's a movie. And then Anthony Hopkins gets all possessed. And then he turns into Hannibal Lecter, only embarrassing. And he's like,
just like Hannibal Lecter with his fly open.
It rubs the holy water on its skin, or else it gets the the crucifix again. Mm-hmm. And then, at the end, he's like, so he's fighting Anthony Hopkins, who's evil. And then he's like, I do believe in Jesus and God, and I love him. And now I believe in the devil too, and I'm gonna fuck you up. And then the devil's like, no. And then so like the dude gives a big speech about how he believes in Jesus and how he loves Jesus.
Does he click his heels together? And
yeah, and then he defeats the demon.
Become a real boy.
Okay.
And
so
fade to black and directed by Mel Gibson.
Did they actually say I love Jesus?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know. But basically. There's a bit, it's a big scene. Like,
that's not such a stretch when you're not a Jew, Ben.
Well, I was going to say, they're really not targeting the large Jewish Jewish audience in this country of, I think, like 1%.
Well, I'm sure Jews made it, and they're like, ha-ha, we're going to make some money off this.
We're going to make some money off these stupid Christians. Let's do it.
It's ridiculous. And then, it's just stupid. It's like, okay, first of all, if I'm the devil... And I, okay, say I'm the devil. Why am I, so my game plan is to like, just like, I'm like playing pranks. Like basically he spends the whole movie just like punking everyone.
Well, he's kind of like the Joker, right?
Right. I mean, he just comes up and like fucks with people. It's like, if you want that person's soul, you could just kill them instantly. Obviously you're the devil, who cares? Second of all, so just like, what's the point? And then you don't have to worry about being vanquished if you just would take care of that. Second of all, hey, Jesus, if you exist so much, why don't you fucking come give someone a hand?
Dude, he's busy.
Hey, take it easy on Jesus.
You don't know Jesus is a DJ.
Jesus is busy. Like, there's a UFC this weekend and the Super Bowl. You know how many people he's got to help win and score touchdowns?
This came out last week. It was January. Come on. Right. There's nothing going on.
He's got a lot of appearances.
Yeah, he does. Well, I mean, I guess he's not in Egypt. I mean, there's a problem down there. But
no, he doesn't set foot over there.
So the thing that really bothered me about that movie was I saw the trailer, and the trailer's kind of like setting the tone for what the movie's going to be. And, you know, the theatrical trailer is like 2 minutes long. And so it kind of like sets the tone, and it's like young priest, and then Anthony Hopkins is like helping him. And it, you know, it's kind of building towards something. And then all of a sudden, in the fucking trailer, it's like, except Anthony Hopkins is possessed, like at the end. And you're like, did you just give away a plot twist in the trailer?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
I was like,
well, I mean, that's like, I mean, but it's not just the end. I mean, it's like the last third of the movie.
No, I meant at the end of the trailer, it like gives away the plot twist.
I saw that. I was like, man, I really wonder what happens. What I see is some sort of plot twist at some point.
You guys, well, I should have said spoiler alert at the beginning, but spoiler alert, Jesus exists.
Wait, does Jesus show up? Because that would be kind of cool.
I wish he would.
Hey, guys, what I missed.
Hey, Anthony, dude, devil's gone. What's up? You want a party?
Yeah, he's just shotgunning a Bud Light and two-hand tapping some Eddie Van Halen guitar solo.
Dude, my dad is a dick.
That would be awesome.
Grab ass.
If he was basically like the dude. And he just showed up, and he's got a T-shirt and a pot belly. He's like, dude, you guys, stop fighting, man.
No, I like to picture him more like Poochie from The Simpsons, where he's just like skateboarding in. He's got like sunglasses on, just rocking out on a flying V guitar.
Hey, dude, what are you guys doing? Oh, fucking devil, I got rid of him. You guys want to party and skate?
It's party time. Yeah,
And then at the very end, the hot priest, just when you were so excited about him being hot, and there's also like, hot Italian journalista, and she's like, I am researching the devil. And so she's like in the class, and then you're like, oh, they're totally gonna bang, it's gonna be awesome. And then and then she's gonna queef out some Hail Marys, and then instead he goes back to America, and then she writes a letter that's like, I miss you, and then he continues being a priest, which means he's not fucking anybody.
You're the nicest priest I ever met. Wouldn't it be better if like the last scene was her with just some sort of devil eyes?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like Drag Me to Hell. Like, she's got one crazy. Yeah.
Or, like, Thriller.
We could have The Right 2, Legend of Curly's Gold.
All right, how about the eagle?
God, this is...
You don't have to be...
Why are you guys even here?
You don't have to be as in-depth. Oh, well, you're going to have to sit there while we read a lot of Paul Blart
Presents.
We're
here to talk about queefs.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, did you guys have a fart-themed podcast and not invite me?
No, you're on the fart-themed podcast.
Yeah, this is the fart-themed podcast.
Yeah, this is the fart-cast. You are a resident queef expert.
Okay, good. Thank you.
No, yeah.
I feel like you guys know more about queefs than I do. Like I said, I'm a dainty lady with there's no air coming out. It's airtight.
Yeah, that's like, that's only for, that's just for the Jezebelish sort of loose women.
That's for the Jezebelish loose vaginas.
Yeah, just where, flopping.
Okay.
Corset-free heathens.
What are we talking about? Oh, okay, so the bosoms. Eagle. Okay, so the eagle, in the eagle,
C-tates.
The eagle is about C-tates.
Does C-tates save Rome's rec center?
Yeah, totally. The bank is going to repossess.
He saves the bathhouse.
The bank is going to repossess Rome's rec center. And he needs to pay for Nana's surgery.
He's got a chariot race.
Yeah. And so
he's going to drift his chariot around the corner.
So
does he wear his Roman helmet like sort of crooked to the side?
So we can't actually, you can only see out of one eye, but it's cooler that way. And then like someone shoots an arrow and it goes like right where his other eye hole would be. And he's like, see?
What? Yeah. Yeah.
So see Tate's. Okay. So it opens. So it's set in Britain in the times of it. Well, God, I wrote it down somewhere. It's like 120 AD or something. Mm-hmm. Is that right? When was Hadrian's Wall? That's a big part of it. Did any of you guys?
I don't remember exactly.
I mean, Hadrian's Wall, I think, existed. I mean, that's what separated Wales from England, right?
No. It separated the north from the south.
Oh.
Hold on. I'm going to look at the. Sorry for the typing.
So CTAS was on.
I don't know why I'm worried about the historical accuracy, typing? But I just.
What do you type on a rock keyboard?
Are you typing on like a Nintendo Power Pad?
What the fuck are you talking about? It was silent as the grave.
It makes a funny sound.
AD-122.
Okay.
I'm typing on my little Macintosh.
It sounds like you punch the keys.
Fuck you guys.
Did you queef on that keyboard?
I type with my labia.
Was that was that a rumble queef?
It was Thunder Queef. That's what they call me.
That was a 4.0 on the...
Were you on American Gladiators?
It was a 4.0 on the Queefter scale.
In the Sweat Lodge. back on the res. Okay. What? Okay, so it's set in like 125 AD or something. And it's in England. So what happened was the northern parts of England / Scotland were unruly. So Hadrian was like,
"Yo, Hadrian!"
Sorry,
Hadrian's like, "Fuck you guys! I'm building a wall, and y'all are walled out, mm-hmm. and you don't come down here." So he built this wall. So what happened was, CTates's dad had gone up there with some Roman, with a legion, the 9th Legion. And they brought their golden eagle staff, which apparently is really important.
Yeah.
So they roll up there with their golden eagle staff. This is pre-wall. So they go up there. They're never heard from again.
That's like, so it's basically, C. Tate's God-given bling that they lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Totally. So the 1,000 men vanished. Where did they go? And so the fact that they lost the golden eagle is a shame. It brings shame on all of Rome, and on Cetates' family.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, "Fuck, dude!
Hell no! You be dissing my pops,
dude? Fuck that dog! I'm gonna get that eagle staff and shit. Fuck that, dude!
My pops was a race car driver. He owned a dealership.
Yo, do you want to have a dance off, pants off? What do you want to do? How am I gonna get this eagle staff back? Holla!"
Exactly. So when CTates gets old enough, he's like, "Yo, let me get a command over in Britain." And so they're like, "Oh, you can have this janky squadron that everyone hates." So he's like, "Okay," because secretly all he wants is to go get the eagle back and win his family's honor back. So he goes to command this like fort, and then like barbarians attack, and then CTates is like, "What, psych, whatever, I'm the bravest fucking dude of all time," and then he wins everything, but then he gets injured, and then, oh, I'm so bored just talking about it. Okay, so then he's like...
So is Brendan, he's playing Angry Birds, I think.
I was just playing Angry Birds while you guys were talking, and it was boring.
Oh, man.
Because normally I would play Tetris on my computer, but you get mad when I use my keyboard. He gets injured, so he goes back to stay at this like villa with his uncle, Donald Sutherland. And so Donald Sutherland's like, "Hello, I'm your uncle. We've never met because of old timey times when communication didn't exist. And so, because like I lived like 50 miles away from you, and so there was no way for us to talk."
Didn't you get those pigeons I sent?
Right, totally. And so then he's like, "You got honorably discharged from Rome. Because they were hella pumped about how brave you were, but also your leg is fucked. Sorry." And so then CTates is like, "No! How will I get my family's honor back?" Okay. Then he gets...
That's how the Crip Walk was invented.
he gets a slave named Jamie Bell, Billy Elliot. And so Billy Elliot and C. Tates become BFFs. But Billy Elliot is from a tribe of the North. He is a barbarian Briton. And C. Tates is like, yo, take me up above the wall. I'm going to go get that eagle back. And Jamie Bell is like, okay.
So wait, so basically C. Tates befriends a slave from the other side of the tracks.
Yep.
And he has to prove that he's down with them so he can go hang with his peoples. I see why he was attracted to this project.
A couple-
it's sort of like... I mean, not to stray away from Step Up and Step Up to the Streets, but it has shades of Save the Last Dance. Is that the Julia
Stiles? Maybe even Dirty Dancing with C. Tates as the Swayze character.
Dirty Dancing to Havana Nights?
Yeah, and then he lifts him over the wall with the move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then Billy Elliot and C. Tates go over the wall, and they go north, and then Billy Elliot's like, listen, dog, whatever you do, don't talk, because they're going to be like, that guy's a Roman, and we will now hack him to death. So he's like, okay. So then they go north, and eventually they find, like, eventually they get to, like, the place where the eagle is. It's like, the seal people of the far north have, now they worship the eagle because they're retarded and they think that it's a golden god. And also they killed your dad. Well, how do you like that? So they go up there, and then Billy Elliot's like, yeah, this is my slave, and then beats the shit out of him. And C. Tates is like, betrayal. My heart is broken because there's slightly a gay vibe, maybe. And then they, by the way, I was waiting through the entire movie for the moment when C. Tates falls in love with the barbarian girl, and then they bang, and then he is, you know, is conflicted, and that never happened. He only takes his shirt off like one time.
Oh, weak. So wait, isn't this basically the exact same movie as Legion?
Well, I didn't see that, but yes. I can just tell you that yes.
It was terrible, but yeah, it sounds exactly like it.
So then they're like up there, and then they get the eagle, and then they have to run away from the barbarians, and then they win, and then they get the eagle back down. Sorry, spoiler. Then they don't die, and they get the eagle back down to Rome, and then all the fancy pants, like, sort of slightly, like, I don't want to say gay, but I feel like that is the vibe the movie's going
all
for.
All the Romans like, are like, oh, damn, C. Tate, you hella down with the barbarians and shit. How you do that?
Because they'd all been like, before he left, they were like, yeah, go get the thing. Like, you know, sure, I totally believe you're going to get the eagle. Yeah, fucking idiot.
And then he comes back
and he's like, slam eagle on the fucking dais or whatever. And they're like, what? And then it's basically just a buddy cop film. And then at the end, like, they're like, you are reinstated into the Roman Legion. And then he and Billy Elliot look at each other, and then they sort of smirk. And then they're like, so where are we going next? And then Billy Elliot's like, I don't know.
I'm too old for this shit. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Like, I'm retiring tomorrow.
And C. Tates was all, y'all was haters before. Yeah, you were hating.
Yep.
All right.
So I think there might be a sequel. We can see more of their antics.
The eagle flies
again.
That
sounds good. So, but Lindy.
I'm sure you guys feel the same way I did, which is that you wanted that to be more hilarious, and that's how I felt through the entire movie.
Yeah.
The best thing about it is C. Tates' accent and,
oh man,
quote-unquote acting, which is amazing. Amazing.
He's gotten less mumbly. I'll give him that.
Is he the Paul Walker of our time?
I think Paul Walker is the Paul Walker of our time. Jinx. Yeah.
He's like nature's Paul Walker. I like him way better than Paul Walker. Although, did you guys see Running Scared?
Oh, that movie's awful.
I hadn't seen it.
Oh, my God. Right? I had to review it.
It's like one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
But also, it's amazing. It reminds me of the show Fastlane with Bill Bellamy and Peter Facinelli.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
Is that Amanda?
Yeah. You're the one. Amanda.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for that reference. That came right out of my brain.
What else? I mean, what else do you remember Peter Fasinelli for, though? He's Amanda.
Well, he's married to Jenny Garth from 90210.
Is he really?
So that's pretty important.
Every time I see him, all I think is Amanda.
Right. Who said that? I don't know who any of you are.
Somebody call me a fag.
Totally. You know, Dr. Dave from ER in Can't Hardly Wait, where she's like, "You're my cousin," and he tries to make out with her, but he's her cousin. Eric. Wait, what the fuck's that guy's name? Hold on. Eric Palladino.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw that guy at the mall in LA once, and I called my friend, and I was like, "Guess who I'm standing by at the mall? It's Dr. Dave from ER, and he tried to make out with me even though he was my cousin." And I thought that he didn't hear me, but really he did hear me. And so then he like just sort of sidled closer to me and then smiled at me and like looked at me out of the corner of his eye for like an hour. And I wasn't going to talk to him. Like I didn't. And it was just this really awkward long moment where clearly no one had ever recognized him before. And he was so excited. And then he stood there and waited for me to be excited. And I was not excited. And it was really incredibly awkward.
Wait, you stood there for an hour?
Well, I was on the phone. I was trying to talk to my friend about other things. I just wanted to let her know about Eric Palladino. And then he stood there and looked at me while I talked on the phone. And he clearly wanted me to hang up the phone and be like, "Can I have your autograph? And do you want to come hear me queef?" And then I refused. And then...
Of course you did. You're such a queef tease.
I am a queef tease.
All right. Well, we got to get into Paul Blart Presents because that was pretty much the reason for the show this week. I believe you were here in the nascent stages for when we invented this game.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. We basically, like last week, we played Paul Blart Presents, and we came up with some titles for sports movies.
We were just scratching the surface.
Yeah, we just scratched the surface. We basically, you know, we did Paul Blart Presents baseball movies, try to think of a baseball movie and make it a Kevin James vehicle. And so we put out a call for submissions to the Frotcast Drunkards.
Thanks to everybody because it was almost I wouldn't say overwhelming because I loved it all, but it was impressive.
Overwhelmingly awesome.
Yes.
And we put out a call for sci-fi. Paul Blart Presents sci-fi pitches. So we got a bunch of these that we got to read.
I have to go pee.
Proceed.
What should I do?
Aren't you on your laptop?
Just go.
Should I take my laptop with me?
Totally.
We can wait and whatever.
No, it's okay. I just don't want to miss any of the farts, but I'm just...
No, go pee. We'll take your laptop with you. We'll wait. We won't read any.
You guys will edit this. About other stuff?
We'll edit this.
Sure. I did see it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Hurry up.
I've just been drinking this wine. Next okay,
time,
hold on. I'll be right back.
Next time, wear a diaper. That's broadcast orders. I did see...
I'll be back in like 45 minutes. Hold on. Hey, here's the thing I thought about when I was peeing.
Yes.
Okay, I haven't really figured it out yet because I can't think of anyone fat in Hollywood, but Paula Blart,
ooh.
Queef Cop.
Oh, well, there's that chick that's in the Bridesmaids trailer from, what is it, Mike and Molly, the show with the fat people?
Oh, the show about the fat people. Perfect.
Yeah. Or yeah, there was the other show about the fat people with the redheaded
how about
girl.
Kathy Najimy.
Oh, yeah.
She would make a good Paula Blart.
Or who's the fat comedian that talks about banging black guys?
Oh, Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah, Lisa Lampanelli.
God, I hate fucking Lisa.
Yeah, but she's obnoxious. She doesn't need
any
more.
She's horrible.
Oh, Kevin James is so tolerable.
Yeah. How about Kevin James with some fake tits? There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, Blart Mama's house.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened
yet. Wait a second. That is something that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Like,
Blart Queef Cop. Paula Blart Queef Cop.
Or Big Papa's house.
All right, Ben. Yeah. Ben's got to read his top Paul Blart Presents.
All right, so you want to start, Vince?
I'll read my top one.
Are these in order? Because I need to sort of
mine
order
are sort
mine.
Of in order. The top three are all. I felt the top three are fairly awash, but yeah, I'll read the one I had at the top.
Okay. And by the way, again, thank you to everybody. We're not going to get to all of them, but a lot of very strong entries.
Yeah. All right. Paul Blart Presents Total Fee Call. A fat, bumbling plumber discovers he has undergone a memory-changing procedure, and he is actually a freedom farter from Mars who must team up with a mutant prostitute with two butts to deliver the information stored in his ass. Based on the story, you will remember his farts wholesale by Philip K. Dick. And that was from Marielle.
Marielle didn't even have to make up the Philip K. Dick part either.
Yeah, so I enjoyed that one.
All right, this one's kind of long, and I didn't like the title that they presented. It was the title was Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which doesn't have anything to do with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, but I really liked the plot.
All right, so in the distant future, after the Earth has become uninhabitable, a massive spaceship called the SS Her cruises the cosmos. Aboard are the last thousands human left alive, all in deep stasis. Their mission is to make it to their new home on Planetoid X, which is 21 light years away. Humanity is able to fuel this journey due to the discovery of an abundant source of renewable methane gas, Paul Blart. All is going to plan until Paul Blart awakens from his slumber and stumbles into the ship's supply of extra sharp cheddar cheese, devouring nearly 35 blocks in under an hour. This causes Blart to become dangerously constipated and cuts off the ship's fuel source and leaves them stranded. This couldn't come as a worse time because an asteroid is hurtling straight towards the ship. The crew awakens from stasis and decides the only way to save themselves is to use their shrink ray on a ragtag group of volunteers to allow them to make the dangerous trek up Paul Blart's ass to remove the blockage and restore power to the ship. Meanwhile, the rest of the crew must try to distract Blart from eating the rest of the cheese. Will they succeed? Will they survive? And that's from Moose, who is or Jeff Smith. I like that. But the title could use some reworking.
I also enjoyed that we started this game with, you know, maybe a title and then one sentence. And then people wrote these, like, everybody was writing like a full treatment, basically. And so, like, after a while, we'd get emails that were just a title and a sentence. I'd be like, this guy didn't try at all, clearly.
Yeah, nice work.
Brendan, you want to read one?
Sure.
Lindy, I should have sent you this whole...
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I'm just playing Angry Birds, which I have some things to say about, by the way, if you guys want to hear me talk about Angry Birds, which I'm sure you do.
Second one down.
All right. This one is called...
Yeah, yeah.
All right, yes. This is the day the Earth held their noses. The Earth stands spellbound as first contact with an alien race takes place in the middle of Washington, D.C. As nervous onlookers and military personnel watch in amazement, a humanoid man steps out and utters the words, Fatu Fartata Nikto, and releases a thunderous fart. The noise frightens troops who open fire on the visitor, causing his robotic companion to open fire with his futuristic technology. Only Fatu's command stops the thundering monster from destroying everybody before the visitor is taken to the hospital to be treated for his wounds. Fatu escapes the hospital and attempts to carry out his mission to warn Earth that if they continue their violent ways, their planet will be taken from them. But thanks to lessons learned from a young, streetwise boy who helps him through his various pratfalls as he adjusts to Earth's gravity, Fatu learns that Earth is indeed worth saving after discovering Taco Bell, and everyone lives happily ever after. That's from Donk.
I like the pratfalls. That'll get me. Because when I'm reading these, I'm just picturing Kevin James like pratfalling around. Like, yeah. Silly alien.
Oh, he's got a bra on his head at some point.
Yeah. He's eating trash.
He's got his face in a pie.
Yeah.
Wait, I just thought of one. Can I do mine?
Yes,
can I do
one? Proceed.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Old smeller. Dog gets rabies. Kevin James has to euthanize it with his fart.
I like that.
That's good. It's not sci-fi, but it's good.
Why does it have to be sci-fi?
Well, that was the homework.
Okay, he fell from space, and his duty is to euthanize rabid dogs with his fart.
You said duty.
I said it on purpose.
All right, this one's
That's
called...
That's what fake Brett likes. And
I don't like all this toilet humor, you guys.
Hey, I'm going to do my duty.
I don't like sci-fi. That's really confusing. Like, are they from Earth or are they from space? I don't know.
This next one is called Mooned. All Barry Turdberg ever wanted was to be the universe's greatest astronaut, but life had other ideas. Barry appears destined to remain an astronaut after poorly timed fart at Moonco's corporate sensitivity training threatens to derail his career. Barry is summarily banished to Moon Base for a year of sulfur mining by Moonco's vice president of moons, Zip Flexington, a square-jawed space hero whose lust for precious sulfur is surpassed only by his lust for Barry's wife, a bafflingly miscast woman whose raw sexual dynamism stands in stark, confusing contrast to Barry's bloated visage. As the sole employee on Moon Base, Barry spends his days futilely harvesting an ever-diminishing supply of sulfur and his nights interacting with his only connection to the outside world, the Fuel Analysis Robot Terminal, a sentient computer whose sassy, black-sounding repartee slowly drives Barry to the brink of madness. Farting into the abyss, Barry wills himself to survive with thoughts of his incredulously hot wife and the prospect of one day returning home to her. Can he maintain insanity long enough to design a fart-powered escape pod? Or is he destined to die alone amidst farts' distinctly urban witticisms?
I like that one.
Yours most fartingly, Charith. That was from Charith.
That was in my...
God damn it.
That could be my number one so far.
Yeah, that one was good. All right, I got to decide. I mean, there's a lot of good ones. All right, I did enjoy this one. Paul Blart presents FI, Fartificial Intelligence. The year is 2120, and nearly all of Earth's petroleum resources have been used. Because of this, companies are hard at work designing robots and machinery that can run on renewable resources such as hot dogs and baked beans. One of these early prototypes, Larry, played by Kevin James, has been introduced into the home of his inventor, Deacon, played by David Spade, in order to be both a test subject as well as an assistant around the house. Even though the family loves Larry's crazy antics, such as falling down and making funny faces, it soon becomes apparent that his artificial digestive system is not working properly. Instead of the brief, humorous moments of flatus that were in Deacon's original design, Larry's artificial colon releases a slow and steady stream of nitrogen, methane, and carbon dioxide. The unpleasant odor forces the family to demand the dismantling of Larry's circuitry. Fearing for his life, Larry segues away from home with the assistance of a male prostitute bot, Lance, played by Rob Schneider. The two travel across the country solving problems using Larry's flatulent abilities and Lance's artificial sweet smarts and fellatio techniques. 150 years later, when the human race is extinct, Larry and his humanoid pals all learn to harness the power of their farts to create a stable energy resource in order for all the robots and machines on Earth to continue operating. Now it's from Chris Miller.
Nice.
The only thing I don't like the Rob Schneider prostitute angle. I feel like that's too obvious.
He's already been, yeah, it's been done.
Like,
yeah,
let's see.
All right.
What do you want there? You want like...
Well, him as a male prostitute, I mean, like a male prostitute on dudes, like getting favors would be kind of funny.
True. Yeah. I want to see Zac Efron. He seems like a pleasure bot.
Yeah,
he
does.
Do you guys know that I love Zac Efron?
Do you really?
Zac Efron, did you guys see 17 again starring Zac Efron?
Who
like six times.
Hey, we're talking about Paul Blart.
That movie is legit good, am I right?
Oh, my God. I saw it 17 times, but it's hard because I don't want to see it again, but I do.
But I want to see it 17 again more times.
Are you guys trying to kill me right now with yeah. your lies? Because that movie really actually is good.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's an understatement good.
I mean, it literally physically kill you.
It is literally good.
Shut up. I hate this podcast.
All right. I really like this next one because everyone we've read so far has read, like Vince said, like a movie treatment. But this next one just kind of sounds like a guy talking, but it's funny because it was typed out in an email. But it sounds like, okay, so this one is called Sharts. It's a Signs parody. First thing, Paul Blart is Joaquin Phoenix's character. But instead of being good at baseball, he's good at farting. Instead of the little girl character leaving water all around the house, she leaves beans or some kind of fart-inducing food all around the house. I don't know. Let's call it Dijon vinaigrette salad dressing.
Yeah, tuna Oreo casserole.
Yeah.
Tuna Oreo Parmesan. That's a Nick Kroll's.
With Fritos.
Hard-boiled egg stew.
When the alien comes in, Mel Gibson's character remembers something his wife said while dying. Blart, fart away. So Blart goes around and starts shoving all the food in his mouth while the alien stands there watching. Blart then makes a face.
I like that visual, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
What is he doing?
Alien's just standing there. Blart then makes a face like he's digesting the food into farts. He then begins to fart, and it turns out the aliens are killed by farts. The alien's skin starts burning, and the alien dies. Then, when the daughter can't breathe and they rush her outside. Oh, and then they rush her outside. Blart tells everyone to stand back, and he lets go one last fart right into her nostrils, and it wakes her up. That one's from Paul. Thanks, Paul.
That's
my favorite one so far, except for Old Smeller. You're welcome.
I do like that one. No one's really gone good. With the trough of McDonald's cheeseburgers yet. I'm so sad.
Which is true to life.
We know this because you told us.
Mayor McCheese performed the ceremony.
And they wouldn't let the Hamburglar in.
The Hamburglar came and stole the ring.
No, he was outside. You could see in the wedding pictures he was like casing the joint, like looking in the window.
Yeah.
No, and then they were like, does anyone object to this union? And then from outside the church, it was like, rubble, rubble. So ever so faint.
I have a question. What the fuck was, like, there's the Hamburglar because he likes to burgle hamburgers. There's Mayor McCheese. What the fuck was Grimace?
Hey-o.
What was he? Honestly, like, what
What's the deal with airline food?
Seriously, though, what was Grimace? I don't get
it. A purple bean man. I don't know. What's your question?
What did he like? Said, what kind of food did he? What food did he represent or like?
He
to
didn't.
Eat?
He what just, food did the like? He, the hamburger's not a food. He's just a burglar.
What he burgles the, hamburgers.
What was the population of the town Mary McCheese was the mayor of? Two.
Well, wait. Okay.
I think
Ronald McDonald is a clown. That's not a food.
I think Grimace,
he's the captain.
Grimace is somehow related to Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, then Grimace like is it. The Chewbacca
or Oscar the Grouch. I think he's dick. A distant.
See,
cousin.
I think you're looking at this the whole
he's
way.
Like they evil Barney.
The characters don't represent food. It's actually a real place. And
wait.
The Hamburglar is kind of like the foil. Like he's sort of always there to he's there to create tension. He's the antagonist in this whole story.
You guys are making me
and
sad.
Grimace is like the town pharmacist. He's just or something. He's just a guy that lives yeah. there.
Giving
Come
kids
down.
Drugs.
You look at this as like a Joseph Campbell-esque hero's journey.
Wait, what's the name of the town? McDonald it's, Town?
Cheese, like
cheese McDonald's cheese, Land or cheese, something. Mm-hmm.
Paul Blart
Burgerton.
Okay,
Paul
wait, so Blart there's presents. McNugget buddies, and there's Fry Guys, right?
Oh yeah, the little McNuggets.
All right, that's I'm right. done. I'm done with this. Done with
who
McDonald's.
Is that? Who's talking?
This is Vince.
This whole McDonald's thing in our rear view.
Hey, I kind of like when they do those 2 quarter pounders for $2. I buy like 4 a time.
God damn it! All right.
I really can I just say that I don't know who any of you are or what your names are. Or who's talking ever.
That's cool.
Neither do I, you guys. That's why
but
I don't
I
like...
love you all. I'm, hey. I'm just kidding. I know everything.
That's why I don't like being here. It's kind of boring.
All right. Paul Blart presents Back to the Pooper. A DeLorean pulls onto the screen. The driver's door opens up with smoke emerging from inside the car. Kevin James rises from the smoke with barbecue sauce on his face. He looks around for a minute with a bewildered look when boom! The longest, wettest fart sound effect you could ever imagine blasts through the theater speakers. Kevin James quickly jumps back in the car and tears off down the road towards the nearest Arby's, leaving a trail of fire behind him. Cut to the title. Where he's going, he doesn't need roads, but he will need toilet paper. And that's from Pete.
Yeah.
I like it.
This next one's really short. It's just called Flatulent Green. It's farts. You're eating farts.
So simple, yet so effective.
I like the simplicity of that.
That one's Grant.
I think
Thank
it's my
Grant.
Favorite one.
Yeah.
This one I did like, although it's not really sci-fi, but I did enjoy it. This is Paul Blart Presents A Scanner Fartly. In the not-too-distant future, Detective Bob Blarkter, Rob Schneider, is working undercover with a small-time group of fatties. Trying to reach the big... the big
Sorry.
And small was in me. Quotes. Trying to reach the big distributors of a bowel-damaging food known as Sandwich D. He worked for the Poo Path Corporation, where every agent has to wear a high-tech fat suit that constantly varies their schlubbiness. His housemates, Kevin James and Jack Black, spend their days using Sandwich D and dealing with its side effects, perpetual flatulence, impromptu hip-hop dancing, and a constant desire to hit each other in the nuts. As Blarkter finds himself being drawn further into their world, he finds that Poo Path may have a record scratch, a smelly secret. What? And this is in quotes. What does a scanner see? Into the head? Down into the butt? Freshly or fartly? I hope it sees freshly because I can't any longer stand my own farts. And that was from Joshua Duffeld.
That one's very, very high-minded.
Yeah. I liked Sandwich D a lot, and I liked picturing them in their weird cartoonish ways. Just yes. sort of flopping around on the ground.
Nut punching.
I liked a ragtag group of fatties or whatever
small,
it was.
No, small what time.
Small time group of fatties.
Small time
fatties. Small in quotations.
I like that means, what does that mean? Like they're not that good at being fat or they're just fat but they're not good at anything else.
There's a lot of ways to interpret that.
They're just Bush League fatties.
We do have some highbrow listeners. That's multiple Philip K. Dick references. Yeah. We get some...
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
I had an idea while that was happening.
We have so many more Paul Blart things to go through, Lindy. I don't know.
Wait, can I just say, I won't say very much. Why are you mad at me all of a sudden? Just Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah.
Fartatar. I mean, I'm just saying he bends air and he makes...
They don't even need to change the title.
Yeah, you just keep
exactly,
it the
like,
last...
That's what I'm saying. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Now I won't talk anymore ever.
That would actually be really good
Lindy.
If he was just... He was able to like warp all his farts into very powerful wind blasts.
Yeah.
Can I say that as far as we know, that is what he's doing? I mean, like it's not the science of it is not explained. It could all be farts. He is just conjuring up air and throwing it at people.
That's true. It would be better if he turned around and had this very elaborate, like, sucking in and out of his butt and then finally, like, blowing this, like, large wind blast.
Or if it was like the movie, he would be, like, sucking the farts out of other people's butts and, like, accumulating them. And then, like, blasting them, and just a big Hadouken.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
No, he's like Rogue in X-Men.
Right.
He steals other people's farts.
Yeah, but they're all stuck, sort of turned around with their butts to him.
Right.
They can't move, and this, all the fart gas is just coming out of them, going straight into his butt.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and it's like, ding-a-ding-a-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. But then...
Ah, soul.
Yeah. But then he's not actually Asian. That's what happened in that movie.
Right, right.
Okay, that's my last thing I'll say. I won't talk anymore.
Oh, Linda, you can talk whenever you want, except for right now because I'm talking. Next
Who
one. Paul Blart presents Children of Farts. In 2027, in a chaotic world in which humans can no longer defecate, a former sanitation worker agrees to help transport a miraculously feculent woman to a sanctuary at sea where her bowel movement may help scientists save the future of humankind. That one's from Jesse. I love how it's Paul Blart Presents because Paul Blart isn't in it. So it's got to just be Paul Blart Presents.
It's just a V.
Okay. It's Jurassic just, it's produ- Farts.
Oh, that no, that one's on there.
Yeah, we do have a
Jurassic.
No, we have
Fart.
A Jurassic Blart actually.
Oh, Jurassic Blart.
Well, there was
Kevin
actually...
James voices Tony the T-Rex, the pizza gobbling star attraction at a dinosaur amusement park. When a group of Stegosaurus bullies attempts to take over the peaceful dino paradise, Tony is forced to step up to the challenge with the help of his raptor sidekick, Clever Girl, voiced by Willow Smith. Hijinks ensued. Chow down with these wacky fun dino homies, but be careful when you eat. Their vision is based on farts.
That's funny.
I kind of feel like the Kevin James role, the Paul Blart role, should be like a less threatening dinosaur, and then the bullies are the T-Rexes.
Okay, well, we can rework it.
Yeah, we got time.
Like Kevin James, the brontosaurus.
We still haven't figured out all the beats.
Yeah, because if he's a brontosaurus, it means he eats a lot of plants and lots of gas.
Yeah, a lot of fiber.
A lot of high fiber diet.
This one is called a buttwork fart, but I would call it a clockwork fart.
I like a buttwork fart. That's a good, really good title.
Maybe you can cram one more toilet joke in there.
Alex Delard, Kevin James, leads a gang of flatulent ruffians as they terrorize the streets of London. But when Alex takes it a step too far and farts one of his victims to death, he is apprehended by the government and reprogrammed to be a model citizen. Newly reformed, will Delard be able to use his ass gas for the powers of good, and in doing so, save the rec center from the fumes of his old gang? And that was from Tuck Billings, and I like that he made a poster as well.
Yeah, there's a few posters.
There's some good posters. I kind of feel like he should be reprogrammed to think that farts aren't funny.
Yeah.
That would be much
Come
more
on,
like the Clockwork
guys,
Orange.
But
it's just like 57 hours of him with his eyes taped open. He's just laughing.
He's watching Ass, the movie from Idiocracy. He's watching Ass, the movie, and it's playing, like, you know, Ode to Joy by Beethoven.
Yeah, I think someone's gonna have to do that with us.
Yeah. My mom's gonna hire someone.
Can I tell you guys something?
Yes.
And that's the last thing I'll say, I promise, and it's not a fart idea.
Is it about sex and queefs?
No, it's a weird coincidence, which I shouldn't tell you, but just weirdly, one of my friends just texted me and she said, "My boyfriend and I are listening to a film drunk podcast, and you are the only entertaining thing at this point." she had no idea that I'm doing this, and she just texted me that. And I disagree. I'm pretty into you guys.
No, I agree.
But it just
I like that
laugh,
a random person that was just listening to it. I thought it was basically like my friends and then like a couple people that I emailed, maybe.
I know. Isn't that weird? Wait, how do you... Actually, it says... Foam drunk. It's not, but I assume she means foam.
Is it? Was she drinking milk?
Yeah, she's drinking milk and she's eating bagels.
You should have told her that my mom thought the first 5 minutes of one of ours was funny.
Yeah, that's all.
Anyway, I disagree. For the record, I just thought that was a weird coincidence.
For the record, I agree.
Yeah, she's kind of
secretly
right.
I do agree. I wish you guys would shut up so I could yell more about my own fart puns. JK.
When you think of them, just jump in.
No, you yelled at me.
I can't
anymore.
I did no such thing.
Go. You were like, we're busy. We've already been doing this for an hour and a half, which is true, and that's kind of...
All right, we still got more to read. For instance, Paul Blart presents The Fart Element.
What, the fart element is fart?
I could only think of Kevin James having to create four distinct farts, like the silent but deadly and maybe a shart, and he has to blow the four farts onto Kirk Douglas's corpse, which releases the after-death fart. Then the corpse gets rigor mortis boner, and the boner shoots out of the divine fart that defeats the evil alien. That defeats the evil alien construction company coming to tear down the rec center.
And I like that. There was also
and the construction company has a log flume that the, yes. the corpse goes down.
I didn't type it out. And I don't know the whole premise, but there was also the fifth Elamiel, which I liked.
Yeah, I did type that one out.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, I had just two more really short ones that I liked. One was called Fartica, and Paul Blart wasn't born perfect. However, he assumes the identity of a cripple, Jude Law, so he can get a kick-ass job and fuck Uma Thurman.
I really like that one.
And that was Christopher Pritchard. And then the other really short one was Paul Blart, Beyond Charterdome. Paul Blart, wandering warrior in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, is relentlessly pursued by bandits for his abundance of the most precious resource, gas. And that was from Brad Urkilla.
I think this might be one of our last ones. This one's called Blart Trek 6, The Undiscovered Old Country Buffet. Paul Blart loses his remote control between the cushions of his couch. When he reaches down to get it, he comes up with a few stale Cheetos. When he reaches back in, he comes back with a few Maverick French fries. The trend continues over the next few minutes as he searches for his remote. French fries lead to a slice of pizza, a bacon cheeseburger, a Cornish hen, a spiral cut ham. Blart, of course, eats each one before proceeding further. After the ham, Blart is amazed and removes the seat from his couch to unveil a fully functional old country buffet operating beneath his cushions, stocked by all the food he has ever dropped down the couch. Hilarity ensues when the buffet is threatened by a roach infestation, and the head cook fixes it the only way he can think of. Feed Paul Blart chili to gas them out. That was from Feck.
Hey, can I tell a story really quick?
Yes.
It's very short.
Yes.
Which is just that, as a person who works for a newspaper and is sort semi in the public eye, I receive hate mail.
Yeah.
Hate mail. Uh-huh. And it's so funny because I actually just had this on my desktop because I was just showing it to someone. So I wrote a thing about how I went to some shitty like PR opening party at the Gucci store. Uh-huh. And how every like hors d'oeuvre was like literally like one bean with like a shred, like a lobster hair. And then you were supposed to eat it like it was food. And then so they had cloth napkins. And so I stole a couple of the cloth napkins because I don't even have cloth napkins at my house. So then I received this letter.
Old T-shirts work fine, I found.
I know, right? But it just was symbolic.
Yeah.
So then I received this letter, which is still my favorite letter I've ever received, and also the meanest letter. And also, the other thing is that I live in Seattle, which is pretty small, so, like, if people hate me, they know who I am. Like, they know what I look like, and so then they can say really personal mean things, which is actually fine because it's hilarious. So this person wrote to me, "Thieving ingrate," quote.
Ouch.
"So you were invited to attend an event. You steal the napkins provided by the caterer and then complain about the portions being served. Judging from your ample girth, nothing short of a day at the old country buffet would sate your appetite, fucking cunt."
Wow. I like how they went all professorial and then just dragged it down to the gutter at the end.
I know. They were like, sate, and then they're like, fucking cunt. Anyway, that's what I think of every time Old Country Buffet comes up, because I've actually never been to an Old Country Buffet. I would love to see if it would sate my appetite. I doubt it.
I would like. We need to have like a hate mail cast where we get a few people.
I haven't gotten
that much hate mail, but I've gotten, you know, some really
people have said the most crazy things to me that I would love to do that. One time I had this troll that wouldn't leave me alone. And I write jokes on the internet mostly, and so it's not that big a deal if someone's mean to me because I'm mean. But one time this dude was like, out of nowhere, like, "Lindy's ideal mate would be an alien who loves fat chicks and secretes a gas that would allow her to believe that she's height, weight, proportionate while they're fucking."
Wow.
Like, that's like, you're a nerd, and that's weird.
Yeah, that's like a sci-fi premise.
We don't
right?
get...
Isn't that weird?
We don't really...
Like, also, no. I have way weirder fantasies. Come on.
We don't get any hate mail to Frogcast at Gmail, but the fake Glenn Danzig one that we run, we get some really good tweets where people are like, you're an idiot. I hate you. Glenn Danzig's cool.
I love hate mail. I love it.
Yeah. All right.
I don't get it that much anymore.
We got another one.
In There's the more part?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Sorry.
In the
Sorry.
Distant future, a new evil threatens to swallow the universe whole. Only the fifth Elemeal can stop the evil from digesting all life. Now it's up to ex-pastry chef, current cab driver Cordon Bleu and his wacky partner Chris Tucker to find the four magic Happy Meals and unlock the secrets of the fifth Elemeal before all hope is flushed. Kevin James and Mila Jovovich in The Fifth Elemeal. He also bolded The Fifth Elemeal. Nice job, Henry.
Yeah, I like that one.
Some really good work. Is that? Do you have any more? I think those were all my favorites. There were, I mean, we got a lot. We unfortunately couldn't get to all of them. I don't know that we could get to all of them, but
I was just trying to find this really good hate mail I got, but I can't find it.
I'll read another one while you look for it. How about that?
I think we got through all of them, didn't we?
No, there's a bunch more. Fat to the future. Paul Blart plays Farty McPie. I couldn't even get past the first sentence. All right. Paul Blart plays Farty McPie. I'm just seeing it on the paper and it's making me laugh. I can't stop laughing. All right. Paul Blart plays Farty McPie, a bungling mall cop who gets sent back to 1955 via a time traveling Segway. He has to avoid his own mother's advances when she gets the hots for him after his pants fall down as he's running. In the final act, he has to light a chili fart in order to propel the Segway 88 miles an hour down Main Street to send him back to his own time. Also co-starring C. Tate's as Biff. Yo, McPie!
I just love picturing all these movies as the most generic Kevin James comedies, yet infused with all the parody and hilarity.
I like how there's also this one isn't even sci-fi, but it's on here. Necessary roughage. Stricken with inoperable constipation, Paul Blart is ordered to serve as an NFL tackling dummy in the hope that something will be knocked loose. But when the star linebacker is injured before the Super Bowl, something queef. It's Brian Song meets a terrible diet. Larry. Thank you, Larry.
All right.
That one's not even finished. Just when the star linebacker is injured before the Super Bowl, something queef.
All right, here's some hate mail. I feel like this is better without context at all. One of my hate emails. I appreciate your response, but I honestly don't think you fully understand the gravity of what is being ridiculed. The murder of a child, be they black, white, Asian, Jewish, etc., is possibly the worst crime ever. To make fun of it is even sicker. You as an adult should appreciate the protection of children is not a matter of opinion, but a fundamental responsibility. You as an adult should also appreciate that making fun of a 6 or 9 month old baby's death by knife mutilation is so unforgivable and so removed from humor with a U that it brings into question the lack of any backbone fiber humankind have anymore. You as an adult should also know that to lose a child through such a death is the lowest ebb any human could possibly have to deal with in their life, let alone survive with to their dying day. And then this is my favorite part, which is the reason I'm reading it. I'm sorry, but if this comment page is not removed, I will go to the Belgian embassy this weekend, bring it to their attention, and have it removed.
Oh, fuck. Don't fuck with the Belgian embassy.
Yes.
No, seriously. They don't fuck around.
They're just going to stand on top of their embassy and start yelling.
They're going to throw waffles at you.
So is this person in Washington, D.C., or?
I don't know.
Yeah, which it does matter which Belgian, like, are they going to go to, like, the Nebraska Belgian embassy?
Well, there's only, the only embassies spelled, are in D.C. Everything else is a consulate.
Well, he spelled humor with a U, so I'm guessing it's a foreigner.
He might even be overseas. Maybe he'll go to the Belgian embassy.
This doesn't make any sense. So if I'm assuming that he's appealing to the Belgian embassy because he is Belgian himself, but maybe he's
living overseas.
Well,
yeah.
Wait, do Belgian waffles cause farts? Because we might be able to send someone.
We could get this all.
To take care of this shit.
I think we know a guy.
We know a guy.
Wait, so Vince, do you have a winner that's going to get a Film Drunk t-shirt?
Who
is your favorite?
Let me see.
Is it Lindy West with Old Smeller?
Yeah, with the bullet.
That, I think it's
how about Bold Smeller? No.
I like it.
I'm just naked from the waist up. I just really need a shirt, you guys.
you're getting closer. I don't know. My favorites were Mooned, Flatulent Green.
I like Flatulent Green a lot.
I like Flatulent Green.
The simplicity
but
of
Farty
it.
Farty McPie might have put like, me over the edge.
I like Sharts too, though.
There were a lot
I
of good ones.
I like Sharts the best.
And Total Fecal.
Sharts was pretty good.
Yeah, I did like that he has to team up with a mutant prostitute with two butts.
Yeah, two butts is always funny.
It's never been done.
You know, two butts means
South
also
Park,
two
five-ass monkey.
Vaginas, which means double the queefs.
It's true.
For you guys. I know that's what you're into.
Yeah.
Does two butts mean two vaginas? I don't know if it works that way.
No, just, yeah.
Well, I guess it depends on
what if it's
the,
two butts that just taper into one vagina?
On the alien woman that we're making up. So, yes, we can have it be however we want.
So, but it would only be it would actually be three butt cheeks, which would be very apropos.
I was thinking four butt cheeks.
No,
but
I think three.
It should be.
The middle butt cheek is shared. The middle butt cheek is shared.
Yeah, I think that's what it would be. But there would still be two buttholes and two vaginas.
Oh, yeah. Two buttholes and three butt cheeks.
You guys, my mom's a nurse. I know about this kind of stuff.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, she knows about biasal syndrome.
All right. So
it would. My mom worked in the biasal unit. She works night.
I forget because at first I was picturing two full butts.
She did a lot of spackling
with like four butt cheeks, but now when I think of three butt cheeks, it makes it because it's.
That is correct. I like because the middle one is just like a tit. You could glue like a prosthetic nipple on there.
Wow,
because it's so much more similar to the movie as well.
All right, yeah. I'm just making an executive decision here because I know a few of these people already have shirts based on other things. So I'm going to go with Total Fecal, Sharts, and Flatulent Green.
Those are all winners?
Shirt.
I like those a lot.
I got one for you if you want.
Those are all winners?
Yes, of course.
It would really make me feel like part of the team.
All right. I can do that.
Do you like my whiny girl voice? Hey.
Please.
Hey.
You sound like Brett.
Yeah.
Hey. Well,
not even fake Brett. Real Brett.
I need something to wear under my overalls.
That's because Brett and I have been joined in carnal bondage.
No, that's fake Brett.
It's true.
Not real Brett.
It was a beautiful thing.
I haven't had sex with real Brett. I've only had sex with fake Brett.
Look here, you don't want to have sex with real Brett because he likes to degrade women, whereas I like to put women on a pedestal.
I'm ambivalent.
Maybe I like to be degraded because then when I fart, it's less embarrassing. When I queef.
It's a good
when you fanny fart.
All right, do we have anything else? Can we take this fart ship to bed?
Yeah, this fart ship's riding off into space.
Yes.
Wait, all so right. Was there a three-way winner, Vince?
With lots of dark matter.
Oh, wow. I'm willing to give three shirts away.
I'll throw in an automatic clothing shirt to my favorite. Which was, I'm going to go with Fartificial Intelligence. I liked picturing Kevin James rolling around eating porks and beans and traveling around with I know you thought it was already done, but I like, especially if we turn it into Zac Efron as the prostitute bot.
Yes!
I think we have a hit on our hands.
That's called porno that Lindy West is going to masturbate to.
Seriously, though, hold the fuck up. Did we not have one single reference to dark matter?
No.
Or, oh, my God.
Yeah. It's okay.
You're going to be all right?
Wait, can I send a secret prize to someone, whoever wins?
Sure.
Are you going to queef into an envelope?
I've got a lot of interesting treasures.
Queef into a glass jar and seal it?
I will queef
into a mason jar with like one of those clips. So it just goes like, it's like a hermetic seal over your vagina and just goes shoo.
Oh my God,
seal with
those.
Like the red lipstick kiss?
Yeah.
All right, well, so Automatic Clothing is my clothing company, so I'll send Chris Miller a free shirt. I'll email
Chris
you, Chris.
Miller.
And
I went to high school with a guy named Chris Miller. Are you the same Chris Miller?
It probably is. Yeah,
it's got to be the same.
It's got to be the same guy.
There can only be one.
Well, I mean, that's a really uncommon name.
He's like Highlander.
I know.
Well, Lindy, thanks for being on. Everyone, seriously, thanks for the submissions. We couldn't get to all of them. There were a lot.
Do we need a category for next week?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. All right. Well, what
should we do, like a horror movie?
Horror.
Can I be
good?
On next week?
Would that be good?
I think horror or
we'll
Western.
Think about it.
You guys, this is the
Western.
Only thing I look forward to in my life.
What do you think, Western?
Western, yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, let's see if we can keep this going.
And we'll send them to Lindy this time. That way she can freaking read her favorites.
So send us some Paul Blart Presents A Western.
Unfart given. Sorry, I ruined that
true
for someone.
True shit, of course.
How about Brapalooza?
That was a good one, Lindy.
A dirty dozen
I'm
farts.
I'm a semi-professional humorist. Don't sound so surprised.
Sorry. Brennan, take us
on out of here.
Tuck
us
in.
All right, guys. Thanks for all the submissions. Frogcast@gmail.com. Until next time, good night and good chins.
Thanks, Lindy.